Mentioned in the notices that today, of course, is Father's Day, and some people are cynical about the origins of Father's Day. They claim that actually it's an invention of Hallmark to sell more cards and make lots of money. Conspiracy theorists see Father's Day as a marketing invention. It is true that Mother's Day is an ancient established tradition. Mothering Sunday started in the 16th century here in this country, and it began as a holiday for servants when they were given the day off on a Sunday to travel home to their mother church and see their mother in their mother church on this particular day. And on the way, the tradition grew to gather flowers from the hedgerows on the way to the mother church to see the mother, and therefore the thing of taking presents on Mother's Day started. And it's also true that Father's Day is a modern invention. It was invented in America. It wasn't invented here. It was invented in Spokane in Washington. It was invented in 1910. But Father's Day began in a church. It began in a church in Spokane where one woman wanted to honour her dad. And so that's where the tradition started all those years ago. My Father's Day present from my boys, I got today a Scrabble dictionary. I'm very pleased with it because at last I have the possibility of actually beating my wife at Scrabble. Not that we're competitive in our household, but now I possibly might have that edge that I need to win for a change. And some of us may be sad today because we've lost our father. He's died. And I feel for you this Father's Day if your father has died. Very recently, my uncle died. We're a close family. My uncle died and we had a big, big family funeral. I was asked to say a few words at the funeral. And at that funeral, I was reminded again, being so close to death, that our Christian hope is this confidence of expectation of eternal life, that death isn't the end. So whilst there was sadness, there was also rejoicing and a confidence that there is life beyond the grave. Some of us also may find Father's Day upsetting because we never knew our father, or because perhaps your father was not or is not a good dad. And even just talking about Father's Day this morning, many of us will have difficult memories. But I wanted to talk about Father's Day today, not primarily for the benefit of fathers here, nor for you just to remember your own dad, but rather to use Father's Day as an opportunity to express appreciation and thanks to God, our Heavenly Father, who is the Father of us all. See, fatherhood on earth only means anything in the sense that it's a small, imperfect reflection of the reality of fatherhood that's found in God's own father heart. Now, I'm not seeking to play down your role as dads, if you're a dad here this morning. In fact, the very opposite. But fatherhood is relevant to every single one of us today. And our desperate need, I believe, is to know and experience more of the love of our Heavenly Father in a real way, in an intimate way, to experience being loved by our Heavenly Father. Let's pray today and ask Him to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to ask today that you would draw close to every single one of us. Would you help us if we've lost our dad, or if our dad was not or is not a good dad? Lord, would you draw close, Heavenly Father, and would you pour out a real and wonderful experience of your love into our hearts today? Jesus, thank you. Father, help us. Heavenly Father, would you melt our hearts afresh? Heavenly Father, would you move us into experiencing more of what it means to have your everlasting arms around us today? Father, would you come? Would you come down with that wonderful, changing, warming love from heaven? Would you surround us? Would you melt us? Would you come and love us today? Amen. See, God's revealed important things about himself in the Bible. And I want to say this morning that God is unknowable except he reveals himself. There's many things from creation that we can find out about God. We can know that God exists just by looking at the world around us. We can know that he's a powerful God and a real God, a God who creates beauty. But actually, when it comes to knowing God, when it comes to experiencing God, we are too different from God. There is too much of a divide between you and God for you to find God out for yourself. It has to be a revelation from God. It has to be God himself showing us what he's like. And wonderfully in the pages of the Bible, again and again and again, God reveals himself. God says, "This is what I'm like, that you may know me." And so God has revealed himself as many things. And one of the main revelations and revealings of who God is God has revealed himself as a wonderful, perfect, loving Heavenly Father to me and to you. In John 20, Jesus said this. Jesus called his God, as he was talking to God, he said, he called his God in John 20, 17, "God, you're my Father, his Father, and your Father." Jesus says God is your Father. God is your true, loving, perfect Heavenly Father. Every single one of us. God describes him as Father. Of course, God doesn't have human gender, but the similes used in the Bible to describe God are also like as a mother as well as a father. For example, in Isaiah 49, we read this: "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she's born?" God said, "Though she may forget, I will not forget you." Isaiah 66, "As a mother comforts her child," God says, "so will I comfort you." It's really helpful in understanding the character of God, the nature of God. And so the attributes mirrored in the compassion of a mother show us something of God and what he's like. But God is never called Mother God. He's only ever called Father God, because Father is his nature. It's not a comparison or a simile. It's his nature. And so when Jesus taught his followers to pray, he taught them to address God as Father. The Lord's Prayer starts off, "Father, our Father, my Father, you're my Father. I am his son. You are his son or his daughter. He is our Heavenly Father." It's good news this morning. The good news is you have a perfect, loving Father in heaven. And so when we pray, we go straight to him. There is no intermediary. We go straight to our loving Heavenly Father. Whatever your earthly father was like or is like, whether he was good, bad, or ugly, whatever, you have the best, best Heavenly Father possible. There isn't a better one. You have the perfect one. It's important to look, as we look at fatherhood, to see the origin of fatherhood is from above. Fatherhood is God's invention. Earthly fathers are just a tiny shadow, just a very imperfect shadow of the reality which is found in God. Paul explains this in Ephesians 3, where he's talking about prayer. In Ephesians 3:14, he's talking about as he kneels before God the Father. He says this: "For this reason," Paul's explaining about his praying, "I kneel before the Father," I kneel before God the Father, "from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derive its name." And in some Bibles, you'll see this little A there by the word family, and a little footnote in your Bible which says the word family, it comes from the word father. The word family and father, it's patria, it's the same. Family comes from fatherhood. Family is defined by fatherhood, because God invented family. Two things that God invented, two institutions as it were, the church and the family, both were invented by God. And both reflect something of God's nature. And family reflects something of God's heart. So family flows from fatherhood. Fatherhood actually flows from God the Father and who he is. Because the problem for many of us is if we've had a bad experience of an earthly father, then we can project the hurt, we can project some things that have happened to us, bad experiences, onto God as though God were like that. But I want to say this morning that fatherhood is defined by God, by his perfect loving nature. And it's not limited by our earthly fathers. And I'm not seeking to minimize your work. If you're a dad today, I'm not seeking to minimize your work as a dad. In fact, the very opposite. It's crucial, if you are a father, it's crucial you're as good as you can be in emulating the true father. But whatever you lack in terms of physical father or damage that's been caused in your life by a bad father, God, your heavenly father, is much, much bigger. If you're a mum today with no partner to bring up your children, I believe God empowers you to be all that you need practically to be both father and mother to your children. And if you're a single mum and there's no physical father for your children, wonderfully in Isaiah 54, God reveals this. God says, "For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name." We call on our Heavenly Father to be all that you need to be to parent in your children. So I know many single mums that have experienced wonderful wisdom from God amongst us here and strength to parent children in the fullest way possible. Fantastic. And there's more this morning. The wonderful truth is that as well as our natural family, God has put us in his church family. You were born into a natural family. And you were born again into God's supernatural church family. God is our father. We were adopted into his family. We belong to his family. Here around you, look to your left and your right, here are your brothers and sisters. This is your spiritual family. It's where God has put you here in this family. Now, Jesus was told that his sister and his mother had come to visit him in Mark 3. And this is what happened. Very interesting incident. A crowd was sitting around Jesus. And they said, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. Jesus says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in the circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." What a shocking thing to say. But I want us to see this morning, he wasn't rejecting his natural family. What he was doing was extending the family. It wasn't what he was saying. Jesus often said some things that shocked us. And what he's saying here wasn't a rejection of his natural family, but an extension to show God's put us in a bigger and wonderful spiritual family as well. Both are important. I want to thank every one of you for your role in building God's family here at New Life. Because part of what it means to be church, a very massive part of what it means to be church, is that it's not something we go to. You can't belong to an internet church. I know there's a couple left the church a while ago. They left the church to join an internet church. It's easy because you don't have to go anywhere, you just sit at home. And all you do is you click download, listen to the sermon, then you click pay by PayPal, you pay your tithe by PayPal, and you listen, and then you can also email your prayer requests to someone that will pray for you. That is a model of internet church. Actually, there's far, far more to church than giving your tithe and listening to a sermon and emailing your prayer requests. Because there's something about church, which is massive, massive part. I would say a huge part of church is in fact supernatural family, is family, the family of God. Very important part of it. And so I want to say thank you for all the care that you show to others in the church. All the time praying for other people in the church. Giving time and money to other people in the church, including people in our lives. You know, one thing we've got very precious here as we gather as church is God is building something amongst us, which is very, very precious. which is our church family together. And it's always worth the effort. It's always worth loving and caring and praying and giving. Because God is building something. God is building a spiritual house, as Paul says in Ephesians. There's something being built, and we have the privilege of being those living stones that God's building something. So thank you so much for that. See, Jesus' relationship with God, his Father, was unique. He demonstrated this father-child relationship in all he said and did. And Jesus called his Father by his most intimate of names. We read Abba, which means daddy. And because we're adopted into that intimacy, we too can express intimacy with God. In Romans 8, Paul explains to us here. He says, the Spirit you've received, the Holy Spirit, doesn't make you slaves so that you can live in fear. But the Spirit you received brought you into adoption, brought your adoption into sonship. And by him we cry this, Abba, Father. We've got the privilege of approaching God with openness and confidence and affection that children can approach a loving dad. This morning I want to look at four roles of a loving dad that I believe and I pray would help us move into and experience more of God's love in our hearts. Four aspects of, not saying it's exhaustive, but just four aspects of a loving dad that I feel God would help us to know and feel and be loved more by, receive more of our Heavenly Father's love. Firstly, I want to say that a perfect loving father, God above, he provides. A father provides. John 3:16, verse that we, one of people's favorite verses, it says, God so loved the world that he gave. That out of God's love meant that he gave. And of course, he gave the best. He gave the most precious. He gave Jesus. Paul takes that in Romans 8, amplifies it and says this, he who did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? That's an incredible verse. Paul's saying that God gave his very best, his most precious in giving us Jesus. So how much more then will a perfect loving father not give us all things? Because that's his heart. Well, he's given the very best. Everything else he's going to flow into our lives. Jesus compares the desire of an earthly father to give good gifts to his children with the infinite superior goodness of God to give us better gifts. Matthew 7, lovely verse. It says, if you, though you are evil, talking to earthly fathers relative to God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? My boys ask me for many things. For those of you who don't know me, I've got two sons. And they ask me for lots of things. And I try to respond to their requests. And it's in my heart, it's in any parent's heart, is to want to bless our children. It's natural. It's something in us. My first response is always to want to try and bless them. They want something to try and give to them. But I don't say yes to their requests all the time. In fact, I think it's very important that I don't say yes to their requests all the time. It's in my heart to want to say yes. And I'm an imperfect father. And so I can get it wrong. And I can spoil my children. And I know if I'd spoil them, it's going to result in them being ungrateful, arrogant, and ultimately, it's going to result in me modeling a wrong view of who God is. I have to stop myself from just giving whatever they ask for because I know they need to learn patience. I know they need to learn gratitude. I know they need to learn contentment with what they've got right now. Problem is, I get it wrong. I don't get the balance. But that's not true of your Heavenly Father. You see, your Heavenly Father is perfect. Your Heavenly Father absolutely gets the balance. And so as we go to God and ask, as we go to God and bring our requests, as we go to him and say, Father, Heavenly Father, these are the things today I'm asking for. He gets the absolute perfect balance. He's not like me. Sometimes I'm too generous. Sometimes I don't respond quick enough, whatever. God the Father, as you come to him with your requests, he has the perfect balance in his response. My boys aren't slow to ask and keep coming back and asking. And we've got the invitation. I want to encourage you this morning. You have an invitation from your Heavenly Father to ask. Why aren't you asking? You've got an invitation from God to come before him, to kneel before him, and to bring all the details of your life and your family and your friends and your work and your situation, to bring them all before him and ask. Sometimes God answers straight away. Sometimes he says, wait. And sometimes he says, no. And sometimes he says, keep asking. Do you know what? Looking back over my life, I'm really glad that some of my prayers, God didn't answer them the way I wanted them answering. Looking back, I think, sometimes I prayed something, I thought, God, I'm praying this, and can you answer it like this, and can you do it by then? And I've been disappointed. God, you've not done it like that, and you've not done it when I wanted you to. But actually, as the years gone by and I've looked back, I've thought, God, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You didn't answer my prayer like I wanted, because you had something better and different and something I'd never thought of. I want to encourage you, if this morning you've become disappointed, if you've asked God and it's not turned out the way you wanted, can I encourage you, come back to your Heavenly Father and say, God, these are the things on my heart. I'm asking again, I'm coming back. Remember, the third of the things in the New Testament about prayer are about persevering prayer, asking and keep asking. Because God wants us to come back and come back and come back to him again and ask. The first thing this morning, a loving Heavenly Father provides. Can I encourage us all to bring our requests to God again and again and again, because you have a perfect, loving Heavenly Father who delights to give you the very best, far beyond you can imagine, far beyond in your timing or your understanding. What a wonderful Father. What a wonderful Father. Secondly, a perfect, loving Father protects. Sigmund Freud, that famous psychiatrist who worked very near here for a long part of his life, says this: I cannot think of any need in childhood as strong as the need for a father's protection. Every child, of course, needs protection. There's so much evil in the world that we live in, and one of the strongest emotions in a parent's heart is wanting to protect our children from evil. As a parent, we can only do so much to rescue them from harm. Because we're limited. Even the best helicopter parent cannot be there all the time. Jesus told this amazing understanding of the Father's care for us in Matthew 10. Jesus said this: are not two sparrows sold for a penny? In their culture, those two birds were worth nothing, very tiny amount. Yet not one of these birds fall to the ground outside your Father's care. God knows the details. Jesus wants us to know God knows the details. And then he goes on and says this: even the very hairs of your head, and some of you got more than me, I know, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. When you comb your hair and a hair comes out in the comb, God knows one less in your head. What an incredible reality of the care of God. God knows that much. What Jesus is saying is God knows far more about you than you do. Of course you don't know the number of hairs on your head. Of course not. But God does. And so the depth of the Father's care for you is he knows you inside out. He knows every detail of your heart and life. And he cares. When I was about 16 years old, myself and a few friends, we bought a business. We bought a mobile disco business. I was in Manchester, and it was the 70s, flares, you know, you can imagine it, can't you? Platform shoes, I had 4-inch platform shoes. In fact, my mother wouldn't walk with me. I think she thought, who is this guy? But we bought this business, and it was good. It was a good business, and a lot of work to do. And the problem was, being 16, was I couldn't drive, obviously not. So I had to ask and rely on my father to take this kit, lots of speakers and records and all kinds of stuff, to sort of different parts of North Manchester where we lived. Invariably, it would end up in some grotty, seedy pub with a room above doing some wedding or some party or something. And my dad lugging these heavy speakers in his car up the stairs and back down again. And I just feel bad about it now, actually, to be honest. But he showed his care. He wasn't interested at all in going to a grotty CD pub and lugging my speakers about. But he showed his care for me. How much more our perfect, loving Father. He cares. He cares about the things that are on your heart. He cares about the things that are in your life. 1 Peter 5 says this, casting all your care on him because God cares for you. God cares. The things that you care about, God cares. He knows and he cares. There's this zone around your life called your Father's care. It's not a zone of invincibility. And there's a mistake of thinking that challenges and difficulties that we face are, in fact, God failing to protect me. God, our Father, protects and watches over our lives. And he will deliver us from the enemy. A prayer I pray often is this prayer in 2 Timothy 4:18, where Paul's confidence, this is the Apostle Paul, his confidence before God was this, 2 Timothy 4:18. Paul's confidence was, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. Now that was Paul, who went through shipwrecks and beatings and stonings and no food and no clothes. And he went through loads of difficult stuff. But he says, listen, the Lord will rescue me. He will bring me through. May not be comfortable, may be difficulty, may be a trial, may be hard. But he will bring me through. He will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. That's why when we pray, our Father, we pray, God, would you deliver us from the evil one? I want to encourage you today, make this prayer your own. I want to encourage you today, pray, God, would you deliver me, would you rescue me from the evil one? Because we live in a world of much evil. And God delights to care and protect and watch over us. And he wants us to come to him and ask for his protection. Ask for his covering on our lives and our families and our situations. Because God delights, as a perfect, perfect Father, he delights to provide and he delights to protect our lives. Would you do that? Would you come to God and ask? Ask for his protection. So there's two things. Father, a loving, perfect Father provides and protects. Thirdly, a perfect, loving Father disciplines. Hebrews 12:6 says this, the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone he loves. In other words, those that are loved by God are corrected by him and disciplined by him. And there's an aspect of love which seems quite harsh at first glance. If we step back and think about it, it's actually a vital part of what it means for a father to love a child and for a heavenly father to love each one of us. When I think back over my life, there are times when I've been wrong. I've not understood the whole story. I've jumped to the wrong conclusions. I just plain made a mistake. Times I was just foolishly wrong. When I was 17, I was travelling on a train from London back to Manchester, where I lived. And in the bar of the train, I met a businessman. And he said, he invited me back to his hotel room for a careers assessment. I thought, wow, that's kind. Just what I need, a careers assessment. So I agreed to meet him later that evening. When I got off the train, met my parents and was going back home, they said, there's no way you're going to a stranger's hotel bedroom. I remember the argument I had with my parents, thinking, I understand it, I know what's right, I know the situation, I can assess character. And now, of course, it's obvious he was a sexual predator looking for a pickup. I'm grateful now for my parents' firmness. But at the time, I didn't see it. At the time, I thought I was right. In fact, I'm so embarrassed now to think about times where I thought my parents were dumb. I think about times where at 17, I thought, what do they know? I love the quote of Mark Twain. He says, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to 21, I'm astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. There you go, Luke. It's for you. 21, eh? I've realised over the coming years, actually, I knew so little. And of course, I still know so little. The only difference is now I know I don't know very much. Then I thought I did. That's the big difference. And of course, over the years, I've grown a little bit older, a little bit wiser, hopefully. But I'm still wrong. This is the thing, is I'm still wrong. And I still think I'm right. I need God's correction. I need his discipline. Hebrews 10 says God disciplines us for our good. See, every child needs discipline and correction. Hebrews 12 tells us to endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. What son is not disciplined by his father? You see, sometimes in my life, some hardship comes and I can mistake it either for this is just the devil giving me a hard time, or this is God doesn't love me and just let me go through this difficulty. Actually, there's some hardship that God is sending in my life for my benefit. As I discipline my children, they don't say at the time, whoa, thanks so much, Dad. Really appreciate that. Of course not. They go, ooh. Don't like it. But of course, looking back in hindsight, I can see in my life that things that actually where God has brought his discipline actually have worked something good in my heart and life. And our children need my discipline. Our children need our discipline. Look what it says in Proverbs 13. Very straight talking. Whoever does not discipline his son hates him. So if you don't discipline your children, you hate them. But whoever loves the children is diligent to correct them. I need my Heavenly Father's discipline and correction. Do you realize how much you need to be corrected? Not by me, but by God. Do you realize how much you need his discipline in your life? Because he loves you, he's going to discipline you. Because he loves you, there is going to be hardship and challenge actually come from the Father's heart of love to correct and change you. And it's an expression of love. We, as of course, don't discipline our children in a perfect way. Recently, I was angry with one of my boys. I said some things that were unkind. I said some things that was harsh. And I felt bad about it. And afterwards, I went to my son. I said, I'm really sorry. I apologize. And we kind of, you know, made up. But I really became aware of my limitations as a dad. Because I react out of anger or act out of selfishness or however. But with God our Father, he is never, never, never reacting the wrong way to us. It's always out of love. And it's always that perfect balance that we need. That perfect balance that we need in our lives. Paul warns us as earthly fathers in Ephesians 6. Fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Don't exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and counsel and admonition. That means telling off of the Lord. Parents, we've got a job to do in raising our children in a godly way. But God's discipline for me flows out a heart of absolute love, absolute care for my highest good. See, if God didn't care, he'd just say, you get on with your own choices. If God didn't care, if God didn't love me, he'd say, fine, you want to walk that way? Off you go, be my guest. But because God does care and he does love me, he intervenes to correct and to discipline. How many of the things, good question this is, how many of the things that have happened in your life you have misunderstood and thought it was the devil giving you a hard time, thought it was life being unfair, thought it was God's not with you at that time, when actually it was your Heavenly Father intervening with correction and discipline for your good, for your benefit, and out of his love. For some of us, a situation that we're struggling in right now and thinking, God, you seem to have left me. God, what's happening? Actually, that situation may be, it may be God himself intervening to correct our lives, discipline our lives. Now, of course, it may be the devil and we need to resist the devil. Absolutely. It can be an attack of the devil and I may need to stand up and pray and resist the devil. Absolutely. It may be just we're in a sinful world and there's a lot of bad stuff happening and we may need to put on the full armor of God and stand in the day of evil against the evil. Absolutely. But we need wisdom. We need wisdom that when we're in difficulties or challenges, we can discern, God, what are you doing in this circumstance? Father, would you open our heavenly our eyes that we could see, we could understand what you're doing through the difficulties in our lives. Finally, a perfect loving Father provides, protects, and disciplines, and finally, he encourages. He encourages. He knows we need encouragement. I need encouragement. You need encouragement. See, fathers can discourage their children. Colossians 3 warns, fathers, don't exasperate your children or they will become discouraged. That's the negative side, discouragement. And discouragement easily fills a heart that's not full of encouragement. And Paul tells us this about God in 2 Corinthians 7. God is the one who encourages those who are discouraged. God, the Father, comes to lift us up, to encourage us, to cause faith to rise in our hearts, to cause there to be strength to return when we feel like we've got no strength, we feel we're discouraged. God is the one who comes to encourage. There's a wonderful description in Zephaniah, one of these minor prophets, of God as a father delighting in his child. Look what it says in Zephaniah 3:17. It says, the Lord your God is living amongst you. He is a mighty savior. He will take delight in you. Your God will take delight in you with gladness. And with his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. That's your Heavenly Father delighting and rejoicing over you, encouraging you with the challenges that you face. See, many times my boys come home from school or they've been away, done something, and they're either upset or something's happened, they're confused. And as I've talked to them, actually it's clear they've misunderstood the situation. They've not realized actually that there was another side to it, that it's going to work out actually in the long term, work out better than they thought. They've not kind of seen actually the bigger picture. I've got the advantage on them in that I'm 53 years old. I've been around the block a few times. I've seen things, how things work in life. And so I've got some wisdom to encourage them, to give them a bit of bigger perspective and to reassure them that things are going to work out. I listen to their complaints and frustrations, but I can see beyond the immediate issue. But how much more does God, our Father, who knows the future? See, some things happen, will happen on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. Some things will happen this week that will upset or confuse or cause us to be discouraged. And you see, as we come to God, our Heavenly Father, the God who sees the future, the God who is the God of encouragement, as we pour out to Him, as we explain to Him, as my boys explain to me about what's happened and how they feel, that our Heavenly Father is able to open our eyes, is able to comfort us and encourage us and reassure us that actually He's the God on the throne and it's going to work out. It's all going to be okay. Sometimes we're upset, we're confused, we feel let down. And actually it's because we're not seeing everything that's happened. We've jumped to the wrong conclusion. We've misunderstood what's happening. Would you let your Heavenly Father draw close to encourage you? See, He's a perfect loving Father. He wants just to come close with those everlasting arms and encourage you, strengthen you, help you. On this Father's Day, let's come to our loving Heavenly Father. Matthew 7, I love this little, just a little bit of Matthew 7, verse 11, which says, how much more? It's talking about earthly fathers and then comparing, how much more will your Heavenly Father do all these things? All four of these things I've talked about today, how much more will your Heavenly Father provide, protect, correct our lives, encourage and build us? Let's close our eyes. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you so much. Father, I want to ask, Lord, for any of us who, Lord, are misunderstanding our circumstances, who are not seeing you working in difficulties, who maybe feel frustrated, upset, unsure. Father, would you come today? Would you reveal your love? Would you pour in encouragement from heaven? I feel specifically God wants to reassure us, you today, that God has brought you this far. That you stand today with God. He's brought you through trials. He's brought you through difficulties. He's brought you through many challenges. And you haven't realized sometimes what God was doing. And I feel God wants us to impress upon us, He has been there all the time. Father, thank you. Father, would you open our eyes to see what you're doing in our lives? Would you open the eyes of our hearts to recognize your provision, your protection, your correction, Lord, your encouragement, oh God? Father, could we today, as your children, could we draw closer to you? Can we approach you as Jesus did with that incredible intimacy, incredible dependency on you? Lord, would you help us to take a step forward into that, Lord? I just want to really encourage us personally, individually, in your heart, to take a step towards God, your Heavenly Father. Just to say, maybe, here I am today. God, I'm your son, I'm your daughter. I freshly want to know you, draw close to you, experience your love. I wonder if you'd stand with me just for a moment, please. Let's just stand in God's presence. Father, I want to ask, Lord, please, in this week ahead, in these coming 7 days, Lord, would you open our eyes? Would you intervene? Would you give us a heart to ask? Would you give us, Lord, a desire to know your fatherhood in a deeper way? I just feel it'd be lovely to finish today expressing what it means to be part of God's family. Just to turn to the person next to you, give them a hug, give them a greeting, say, how you doing? Can I bless you? Can I pray for you?